ago, I shared with you a revelation from the word of the Lord that I am going to revisit, because I believe we are living in an hour and a time when the Lord is doing everything he can to ready us for his return. I have been reading in several versions of the Bible what the day of the Lord means, and I believe that the Lord is going to visit this planet with judgment that has never, the likes of which have never been seen before. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. I don't believe there's one child that's been abducted, molested, and destroyed that God has not marked the space, the time, the moment, and the blood that fell. And the blood of all the innocents of the earth is crying out to him, and he is making a note of it. When he judges this planet, it's going to be deserving of it. He will be righteous and worthy, and until that time, though, it is his plan and his desire, while he is preparing the world for its ultimate end. And all that's in the world are three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And it's these three things that have brought our culture to its knees. It's brought mankind to its knees. Sin is nothing more than disassociation from God. It means being cut off from God. That's why an innocent child can be a sinner, because sin speaks to your relationship with God. And quite frankly, ever since Adam and Eve, we don't have one. So from Exodus all the way to Revelation, it is God's effort to get people who really want to know him back where they belong, back into grace with him, back into association with him. And so for those of us who are here tonight, which I call the core of the core, you have to want to be in church on Sunday night to be here. Because I saw a man out weed whacking today. He's out to hit tennis shoes, just going after it. And I thought, you know what? You are not going to get, you'll work out there for 1 hour and those weeds will come back. I have been an hour in the presence of the Lord. It has changed my life already. Because especially in this hour of moral decay, when people are choosing what they want to do based on how they feel, my Lord Jesus, and you can't trust how you feel any more than you can trust how you think. We have to base ourselves on something bigger than we are. So I am going to revisit the topic that I opened to your understanding many weeks ago. Pastor asked me to go through this again, and I have an article to share with you that Brother Brian Anderson gave to me about lions, which I thought was most profound. Now, Brother Mike, where are you? I hit the trigger. Did anything happen? Is there pink behind me? Well, it's the pale something, isn't it? The four faces of man, and I will be reading from Ezekiel, the first chapter, and I did this so that you wouldn't have to scurry. This is what the word of the Lord says. Now, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. This always strikes me as wonderful, because he was in the middle of captivity and he saw God. What does that say to me? It doesn't matter what your life circumstances are. If you are in relationship with God, you can see him through prison bars. You can see him through a sick bed. You can see him through storm, through trials and tests. What you do to this body is not going to matter much, because when you have a soul connection with God, nothing can stop you. Nothing can separate you from him. Say, can I live that way? Absolutely, you can every day of your life. That is his will. It is his calling for you. And it doesn't mean you're going insane. It just means that you know the Lord, and he wants to visit you and help every one of us. I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. Four creatures as one. Everybody say four in one. And they had the likeness of a man. Every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man. And on the right side, the face of a lion. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle behind. And tonight I am going to share with you the four faces as far as we can go. We'll see how far we can get, because I believe the Lord is trying to use whatever circumstance you are in to produce a new creature. It's you. It looks like you, but it's not you. The face we see on you is that face of the man. But this creature that God's trying to make in you, he's going to take your circumstances. You say, well, I'm in my 80s. Can God make that out of me at 80? Absolutely, because age is meaningless to him. He holds time in his hands. He created it. He knows, well, I'm 7. Can I have those feelings? Can I have this in my life? Absolutely. It's not about age. It's about quickening. It's about connection. You're no less of an heir at 7 months old than you are at 72. The only difference is how you exercise your authority. That's the difference in a 7-month-old and a 72-year-old. You have grown enough to exercise your inheritance. And Pastor so beautifully showed to us this morning, even when you've sinned, when you've fallen, and there are 7 ways. Did you know there were so many ways to sin? I said, Jesus, please help me. And the one that just leaped out to me was missing the mark. Missing the mark. Remember that scripture that says, all have sinned and come short of glory. What it meant was, at the very moment when the Lord was getting ready to glorify himself, I chickened out, I got mad, I lost the faith, I slammed down the Bible and walked out and said, this is not working. And it was just fixing to happen. But what do I do when I find that out? I cry, I get back on my knees and say, Lord, don't give up on me. He's shaping this thing that I'm becoming. Say, I'm a thing. Say, I'm a creature. There's no word for this. There's no word. There's no word. I'd love to know what the word in the Greek was, or in the Hebrew or the Aramaic. Because when you say creature in English, it just means there's no description. It's a thing. See? And he said that you have been made a new creature in Christ. Lion on the right, ox on the left, eagle behind. Man is the face you present to the world. That's just one part of you. Such a small part of you. But you see, if you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's the only part of you we're ever going to see. What you think, what you feel, but you were meant to be something more. And so many people in the world, it's almost as if the Lord has put a homing device in them. Whether they ever darken a church door or not, they begin this search. What are you doing? I'm trying to find myself. And in the name of finding themselves, they do such destructive things to themselves and others. I read the story about a woman who became a hermit. You know what she did, though, to become a hermit? She left her husband and all her children. Well, on a spiritual quest. I'm sorry, but my guess is that her children don't think much of her quest. Because in order to find God, she destroyed relationships. That's very painful for the little ones left behind. God wants to marry you to himself and then set you in families where your creaturedom is used to help you where you are. You don't have to run off and change your face, your name, your identity, your whatever. God can deal with you right now, right here. He's a right now God. He said, this instant, today is the day of salvation. He wants to make a change in all of us. Mankind is male and female. This has nothing to do with gender. I'm sorry if that upsets your apple cart, but I'll quote to you from the scripture that says, in Jesus Christ, there is neither male nor female. There is bond nor free. The only limitation that you will place on God is you, yourself, and your connection to him. It has nothing to do with your parentage, with your ethnicity. It has nothing to do with your intelligence or your wealth. It has nothing to do with whether you were born speaking English or whether you learned it as a second, third, or fourth language. It has to do with whether or not you will connect with God. Age means nothing. Years mean nothing. Experience means nothing. Doxology means nothing. Your knowledge of doctrine, your knowledge of faith, your knowledge of everything is meaningless when God begins to work on you as a creature. Man is just the frame that he put us in so he could do this thing he's going to do in us. And I've come to enlighten your mind. A true man was Jesus Christ. He embodied all of these things in a face. We talked about lion, which is the king of all beasts. And I have to help you understand something. Because what happens to most disciples of Jesus Christ is they don't know what God is giving them. And their reaction to it is inappropriate. For example, when I think lion, I think territory, because lions require enormous amounts of space. you see. They require space. They have to have it. Well, when the Lord fills you with the Holy Ghost, He gives a desire, this I need to be free thing. I need to be free. And the world is on a quest for freedom. And of course, in the name of freedom, giving your flesh full rein is not freedom. Freedom is found in discipline. It's an oxymoron. It's a paradox. Freedom is found in discipline. You're not free when you quit coming to church. You get ready to go into bondage because you're getting ready to do what you want to do. And I tell you what, you left to yourself, you are a dangerous critter. You are dangerous. You know, if it doesn't hurt anybody, let's all do what we feel. Will you give somebody that mentality behind the wheel of a school bus and tell me? There's no freedom in freedom. There's freedom in discipline. There's freedom in knowing God. But in the middle of all that, He puts this need for territory in us. You need territory. Say, I need territory. Territory means conquest, victory, because lion means strength. They are territorial. They're very boundary conscious. There needs to be a very strong sense of boundary in you. You need to know what your lines are, and you need to have them. You need to know what your limits are. You need to know when something's crossing them, too, and you need to fight like a tiger. There's only one thing to do with boundary issues, and that's fight. A defender, fearless, powerful, seeks prey, thrives on fresh meat. The Bible says the life is in the blood. Jesus said, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you can't be a part of me. So what are you talking about? Are we supposed to go out and all chow down on a big old T-bone? I wish I could tell you that's what this meant. This is not about your body. It's about your character. And some people do not know boundaries. They will not accept a teaching on it, which means they can't. It's like a contract. You know, let me put it to you like this. How stupid would it have been if I said, I want to be a teacher, and then they hand me a contract and say, you've got to read it before you sign it. Those are my parameters. That's my territory. I operate inside those limits. They're pretty broad. But I've got to know them, and if it makes me mad that somebody sits me down and tells them to me, how stupid is that? Then I don't know my job. I don't know my job. I don't know my rights, and I don't know my responsibilities. When the Lord fills you with the Holy Ghost, all three of those are in there. You have a job. You have rights. And you have responsibilities. And in studying the word of the Lord, the reason we do this is so you'll know what your lines are. Jesus was taken to the top of a temple and told to jump. Because the devil got the contract and said, if you stumble, he gives his angels charge over you. And the Lord said, the Lord himself, who made the law of gravity, said, get behind me, do not tempt the Lord thy God. What was he saying? Did you know the rules of the book? And you know that no human being can defy the law of gravity. Don't try to tempt me outside my lines. You mean there are things Jesus couldn't do? Absolutely. And jump off a building was one of them. Well, he was God. He could walk on water. Yes, but he knew what his boundaries were. You don't ever put God in a position to show off your idea. See, well, when you're tempted to do stuff that's outside your boundaries, that's exactly what's happening to you. You need to understand what's happening to you. You're being tempted to go beyond your limits. And what's going to happen when you do? It's going to be bad. The Lord cannot protect you outside of the boundaries. Satan knew it. He said, I'm going to get you to disobey. I'm going to get you to step outside your contract. There'll be no help for you. What would have happened to Jesus if he'd have jumped? Anybody want to take a guess? He'd have fallen. What might have happened to his body? Yeah, he'd have been crumbled. Say, well, I feel so bad because the devil's tempted me to do stupid stuff like that. Well, don't feel bad. He tried to tempt Jesus too, also. Jesus just said, you're ignorant. Get away from me. I'm not going to do that. You know, some people say, well, if it's the Lord's will for me to die, He'll take me. I'm going to go stand in front of this train. And if he doesn't want to take me right now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. We're going to have a whole new description of grill meat. That was just ugly. It was very graphic, too, and I saw it. I'm sorry for looking at that. I'm going to apologize right now to my husband. Don't nobody go tell on me. This is how you're supposed to operate in power. When a power attack comes at you, you must respond with power. This is why some people get all messed up, because they want to come like a lamb in the middle of a fight. I can tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to be shredded. Boundary issues. This is the way you operate. This is the way you operate. The Bible said God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Now, when are you afraid? When you're threatened. So how are you supposed to behave when you're threatened? Power, love, and a sound mind. Everybody say power. Whose power? Yours? I'm going to go punch their nose. No, the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But before that, it says, do what? Submit to God. You check in, you say, God, I want to tell you what's been happening. I know this is not right. There are people who are definitely in my territory. There are spirits trying to run me over. I feel like I've been hit by a freight train. God, I know I am not supposed to feel this way. Did you know he told the priest, when your mama, your daddy, and your wife, and your kids die, don't you ever rip your clothes. You were never, all the Jews, in a sign of mourning. When they were mourning, they would rip their clothing down the middle, rip the robe, and put ash on their head and sit in a heap. He told the priest, don't you ever rip that garment that I gave you. Why? Because he said, we're going to be clothed with Christ. You never rip yourself to pieces over anything anybody does. Are you listening to that? You say, well, I'm just all torn up about it. Well, I know you are, but you can't respond with that kind of, oh, they're going to get me. Oh, they're going to. You have to say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you see what this is right now. I'm going to have to meet this, not with cowardice, but with courage. I can't wimp out on this. I know my children aren't doing right. I know this, Lord, and I know I've got to do X, Y, Z, and I can't be weak. Somebody's got to be strong here. You may feel like caving in, but it will do you and them no good. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying to you? I can hear you thinking. You have a spirit in you. God's trying to bring that out in you. Say, it's not my nature. Clearly. Hello? Clearly it's not your nature. It's not supposed to be. If it's your nature, remember the power of man is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If that's how you're operating, you don't know God. Because the Bible said, if any man loves the world. Tell me what's in the world again. There are three things. What's in it? Lust of the flesh, that is, I'll just do whatever I feel like doing because I feel like doing it. The lust of the eye, if I see it, I can be easily swayed, I can be bought off, I can be seduced, I can be incited. And what's the last one? The pride of life, and people think that means a new car. It does not. It means self-sufficiency. It means nobody helps me because I don't need nobody's help. You can be poor as Job's turkey and be filled with the pride of life. I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself, thank you. I'll do it myself, thank you. I'll do it myself. The pride of life. Ooh, it makes me want to say Suki right here and now. Woo, Suki! That is Southern for my Lord have mercy. God holds us responsible for the operation. He gave Moses a staff and he said, when I tell you to, you stretch out the staff. You strike the rock, and then I'm going to tell you there's a time to speak to the rock. Why? My operation is power. How do I get that power? Yield to it. This is why it is so important when the Lord is talking to you that you don't fight with him. Whether it's in church, whether it's in home, when the Holy Ghost begins to speak to you, when you submit to that voice, it's like you become an IV tube with the cap off. When you yield your will to him, all the power that he is flows into you. Say, you mean to tell me that the more I yield my will to God, the more powerful he becomes in me? Yes. This is why the battle for your will is so huge. The more you yield to God, the greater your power in Him. And some people feel so unfulfilled and dissatisfied and discontented because they have never let the Lord make them what they were meant to be. Everybody here was uniquely crafted when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Even those of you that have not yet received the Holy Ghost, God had a unique design for you, one of a kind. You are precious, rare, and special. But when you fight His will in your life, you cannot access the power to become regal. And the only way I know how to describe this struggle that's going on in us, when God puts you in situations that challenges you whether or not you will go to His power or yours, whether or not you will reach for what you know because you're comfortable, or whether you will break your will and say, God, this is so unusual to me, I'm crying out to You. Brother Rex Grady was a perfect example when he said, that van was deader than a doornail, 93 years old. I did not know what else to do. I waited for someone to come by, say he's a powerless old man. I beg to differ with you. Because he went to God, God's power was accessible to him. As long as we are determined to do it ourselves, then the result is going to be what we can produce. I'm going to say that again. As long as we are determined to get what we want by our means, then the result is going to be ours. It's going to be as good as you are. It's going to be as wonderful as you are. Are you tired of the same old? Then I submit to you that instead of giving up in frustration and continuing to do the same thing you've always done for the same result, which is you, God is putting us in a tight place that's going to require that we say, I need You. He said, my strength is made perfect in Your weakness. Paul described weakness, infirmity, trials, persecution, tests, irritations, aggravations. If you didn't have any of that, you would never go to God. Now here's your challenge. You can work it yourself. Be my guest. There are thousands of self-help books sitting right out there. Go help yourself, but I'm going to warn you in advance what the Lord told Job. He said, if you can make a snowflake, you can save yourself. We're fighting the wrong person here. See? You say, why has God put me through this? He's trying to teach you what you can do and what you cannot do and what He can do. Now unto Him who is able to do. Do you know what exceedingly means? To exceed means to go way beyond. He said, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly above all. You know, I think about my prayer request since I was 9 years old, and I try to remember the things I've prayed for. Dear Lord. He said He can go exceedingly above everything that I ask, that'd be enough. But He said He can go beyond my oh God. But there's a catch, y'all. How much lying is working in you? He said, according to the... Say it again. Say, well, I'm doing all I can do, and having done all to stand. See, but you know what we do? We get panic stricken and we fall right back into our old way of behaving. We clearly were not supposed to try to manipulate to get things done. We were not supposed to intimidate to get things done. We were not supposed to pug up. You were not supposed to browbeat people. You were not supposed to beg nor to plead. That is not a lion-like behavior. So is the Lord going to do this? I'm going to tell you right now, clearly, He's going to do this. And the battle that you're feeling right now is the same struggle that a larva, the pupa, the worm that will become a butterfly, undergoes as it metamorphoses into a creature very unlike what it appears to be. You wrestle. If you try to cut that chrysalis open and release that butterfly, you've killed it. Do you know why? Because the battle inside strengthens its wings. And the wings are meant for flight. Now, the Bible said that hell is a place where the worm dieth not. There could be two interpretations of that word, because you know worms feed on decay. I suspect that it means something else. I suspect that it means the condition of a soul that never hits the bottom but just keeps falling. There's no end to the struggle. You're struggling now, but you are struggling towards something. Something's being formed in you. It's like contractions. It's like the pain of birthing. And that's where you are. That's where we are. That is this hour. I don't care if you're 2 or 102. Everybody in the world is undergoing this. Some to life and some to death. Those who are undergoing to death are going to fulfill their flesh. You have never seen such a flesh feast that's coming. People are going to do everything they can think of, and then they're going to do more. And they're going to do worse and worse. And their appetites are going to get so depraved that we're going to cry, Lord Jesus, come. Because they're going to give in to themselves over and over again and just keep falling through the floor. Until the Lord says, okay, that last drop right there filled the cup. It's done. Y'all have done all you can do. It's finished. The rest of us that are undergoing a struggle, what struggle is it? It's the struggle to get back up when I have transgressed. It is the struggle to bring my weary self to this house to hear some word that can get my head straight when I have filled it with everything from the last week. It is the struggle when I know that I have argued with God and disobeyed Him. You're not going to have a fight with me because I'm not going to be able to save your soul. All I can do is pray for you and give you the word of the Lord. But when you are wrestling, let me tell you who you're wrestling with. If you receive the Holy Ghost, there is something living in you, twisting around, turning and moving and trying to be born in you, because God made a promise and He's got to keep it. The only way you can stop it is to cut it out of yourself. And so we wrestle. Say, I don't want to hear about boundaries. I don't want to hear the contract. If we can't sit here and hear the word of life, how in the world are we going to make it when the battle comes? This is just the training. This is not the warfare. This is the preparation for it. It's when you go outside and your head's messing with you and your heart's messing with you and you're trying to decide, do I act on that or not? You see, yes, I know that Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman, it's the same. And what He was talking about was your motivation, your availability, your accessibility. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a little bit difference to a family than thinking about adultery and committing it. somewhere between the thought and the action, God's trying to get in there. God's trying to get in there. God's trying to teach you boundaries, not to aggravate you, not so you can bow up and say, I don't like that. It's because He's going to give you something to defend. If you can take the teach, then you can take the training, then you can defend your ground. Say thank you, Jesus. The promises of God are your territory. Boundaries. The only way you will know what the boundaries are is to research the book. Okay? God, if you ask this of me, what do I get from you? And you know one thing that just leaps out to me? You know what He promised me? Now, at 46, this has great meaning to me because I have a 21-year-old and a 16-year-old. I've already seen the depravity of the world. And I know I'm going to leave these kids here. If the Lord tarries, I'm going to leave them here. Did you hear me? I'm going to go on. This is the way of it's the way it is. And I've looked at those children and I've thought about the condition of the world and I could almost sit down and weep and say, God, but I can't leave them. I don't know if they're going to make it and I don't want anyone to hurt them. And I don't, you know, here you go, here you go. You know what He said? He said, I am the Lord. I show compassion to those that love me to 1,000 generations. I think that'll take care of it for a while. What do you think? Then when that revelation hit me, I had to have a tear roll down my cheek because I knew 1,000 generations ago, some little woman somewhere, way back in time, set in motion a revival that would come to the Tackett family. He told me what goes forward also goes back. That's a boundary issue with me. I'm going to be faithful to a God who can do that. I'm going to be faithful to a God who can do that. Am I perfect? People, I'm struggling just like you are. But the Lord has come down to tell us what this is about. Hallelujah. You've got to know what's written. And here's how you mark your territory. A lion marks it. You know, you see me up here with my head bent over. In a Bible, I am writing, I'm underlining, I'm starring because I know that in 30 minutes when I leave this house, something's going to happen that's going to challenge my discipleship. Something's going to happen. If it doesn't happen today, Jesus told me, He said, don't think about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the what? The evil thereof. He said, you're going to get a challenge every day. You're going to have to be sharp enough to see it. And it's probably going to be a boundary issue. How in the world can I know that my boundary has been crossed if I don't know I had one to begin with? And the way I'm going to mark it is when I hear it, I'm going to act on it, then it becomes mine. This is how come it is so wasteful to sit in church and not listen, not make a note of what's being said. I've been repeating this to myself for weeks now. Simplicity, stewardship. Service, submission, solitude, simplicity, stewardship, service, submission, and solitude. Anybody want to tell me what I'm saying? Do you remember it? What were those things? July the 4th, Pastor got up and said, here are the things that made the generation ahead of us great. This is what we need to make it in this hour. Y'all remember it? Why are you studying on that? Because I think the Lord's trying to tell me something. And that's mine. It's mine. Now, do you know how it's mine? Did you hear me quote it back to you? Do you know I'm trying to do it? What are you doing? I'm marking it. I'm lining myself up to what I heard. I'm trying to memorize those 7 ways to sin, too. Why? Because I don't want to disassociate from God. And if those things make Him withdraw from me, then I can't have territory. I can't afford it. I'm on a quest. I'm becoming something. It has nothing to do with my age. This is ageless. It's timeless. Defending your territory is when you resist defeat. You absolutely get a hold of your head and you refuse to be defeated in the middle of adversity. You refuse You say, I'm not going to give up. I am not going to quit. I don't feel like coming to church tonight, but I'm coming because the Lord's going to say something to me, and I'm going to get me something, and I've got to have this. What are you doing? Everything I'm submitting to, I know I am telling you the truth down to my core right now. I'm telling you that when we let the Lord do this in us, He operates in us this way. He said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. The reason some people don't have a greater operation of the Spirit is because they do not let the Spirit in their lives. They're not spiritual people. Say, how do I change that? The next time you get a phone call that's negative, say, let's pray about that. That way you can always tell if somebody's just gossiping or if they want help. It's the quickest way to stop gossiping. And I don't mind hearing anything if I know I'm going to pray over it. If I'm going to pray about it. But I surely cannot run nobody down and pray for them at the same time. It keeps me clean. The Bible said that what comes out of you is what defiles you. You can't get defiled by somebody giving you a mud bath. You can't even get defiled by what you hear. But you can get defiled by what comes out your mouth. And if you hear enough and you're not getting clean of it, it is going to come out your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. You have to understand that Satan's going to try to get you to dirty yourself. He is going to try to cross your boundaries and get you to say stuff that's going to mess you up. I can tell you right now. If it's out your mouth, half his job is done. And what did we say the key word is? When you feel this coming back and you feel yourself weakening, what are you supposed to do? Sit there and cry? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do?
Roar.
What?
Roar.
Now, see, that takes courage. Do I feel like doing it? No. No, no, no. And you won't either. That's why when we praise together, do you know what we're doing? We're practicing the roar. This is not where it is. You know, that's how come I encourage you, express your liberty here. If anybody gets out of order, my husband's wise enough, he can take care of that. But I'd like to just see somebody get out of order. My God. You say, well, why are you so intent on that? Because if you're so composed here, the more composed you are here, the wilder it's going to get out there. This is where you lose that fine composure and you get full of that roar and that vim and vigor, because when you walk out of here, you're going to need every bit of it to hold your ground. Because somebody's going to be pretty brazen and say something to you that's going to shock the fire out of you. I will never forget. The Lord had to school me in this because I come from a very polite family. When we are in private, my whole family is like a bunch of Italians. Nobody can hear anything and we're all talking at once. But when we get in public, we are so non-confrontational that if people knew this, they could probably just rob us blind. Well, I know they could. Because I didn't want to say anything. This is how Americans got taken into the Twin Towers with box cutters. Because we have a public persona of politeness that, well, we'll just wait for someone else. And yet we can be pretty mouthy, can't we? But when it really comes to taking care of business and action, you see what happened. We were traveling. We didn't have any children. We were in Belgium. And my husband and his father had gone to get train tickets because we were getting ready to go across the border to another country, and my mother-in-law and I were sitting on our luggage in the train station. Little sister Shostrand was just sitting there, all happy and everything, on her luggage in the middle of the winter, just having a good old time, and she had her little purse sitting right on her lap. My mother-in-law was a savvy traveler, but this was my first real launching out into the deep. And so these little children, the women in prayer will understand, strange children, came up to me. And I was just going, well, how interesting. Je ne connais pas love to you too. I mean, I didn't know what they were saying. And they just kept getting closer and closer. And now I'm sitting on my luggage, and these children are just getting closer and closer to my little purse. And there were a bunch of them, and they were in all sizes and ages. There were some this size and this size and this size, a couple older and a couple of teenagers. And they had their hair tied up in bandanas, and I just couldn't believe it. They just walked up to me. And I was just going, And they had a box. And they took the box, and I sat there with my purse sitting right on my, and they took a box, and they put it over my purse, and I still sat there. And here they came, and I felt a little hand go up the box and unhitch my purse, and I still sat there. And I looked at my mother-in-law, and I said, I think they're in my purse. And she leaped up that luggage and said, get, which is precisely what those little children needed. And they might not have understood get with a southern accent, but they understood hop, 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 and they all took off running. Now, you can play with your devil, and you can say, well, I didn't know any better, and I'm so sorry. And well, and he'll just rob you blind and steal and pillage, because his business is to kill you, to steal from you, and destroy you. Or you can stand up in the name of Jesus and say, get out of here! I am not going to give in to that. I will not sit here and listen to this. I'm so thankful she had common sense. I have since learned. Exactly right. No, I'm kidding. Mace. No, I'm kidding. There are times when the devil will whip you like a yard dog if you let him. But if you would take the thing that's eating you alive to the Lord and let the Holy Ghost fight for you,
well, I'm not used to doing that.
Well, then just keep taking a tail beating. That's all I can say. Because until you fight, you're going to get whooped. I will never forget my mother. My cousin is 2 months older than I am. No, she's not. She's 2 weeks. And she would pick on me, and she would always tell lies about what her daddy was going to do. It'd make me so mad, because I was also all into truth and justice. And we were about 6 years old, and she's telling more of them lies because it just worked me up. And I'd say, you are lying. Your daddy's not going to do that. Oh, yes, he is. And now we got to going at it. I'd come home, and my mother would say, if you don't turn and get take care of her, I'm going to whip you. I thought that was the meanest thing I'd ever heard. My mama trying to make me one of them WWM people, you know, the main event or something. I couldn't believe it. Wait, it's not WWM. That's Weapons of Mass Destruction. No, is it? World. You know exactly what it is. See? I knew somebody in here. I knew it. Trying to make me a weapon of mass destruction. And she and my aunt were standing in the doorway watching when I finally decided it was enough. I'd had enough of her. And I grabbed her little old bony arms and I pinned it behind her. She had clawed a hunk of meat out of my arm, and that made me mad. But it wasn't until she took a hunk of my arm out and I saw the blood running that I did anything about it. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to take it? And I pinned her little bony arms behind her, and the Lord had to help me, Nathan, because I'm not a good fighter. And I just buckled her knees just like that. I just got behind her and buckled her knees, and she went down like a sack of taters and peeled off a big old scab she had on her knee, and the blood was just a-pouring. That did it. And I won't tell you what my mother's sister did standing in that doorway, but I'll tell you it was a good thing she had a mop. That's all I'm going to say. They laughed until they were limp watching us two go at it like backyard roosters. You can let the devil run you around and torment your mind and tell you what he's going to do, or you can stand up in the Holy Ghost, but you can't do it on your own. He doesn't listen to the sound of your voice. But when you start invoking the name of Jesus, he looks at you like a threat. And there's going to come a time when you're going to have to do that, folks. Say, help me, Lord. He's trying to. Okay. On. Okay. On again. What do you mean? Go around the room like this? Okay. How's this? Is this good? Abra. Abracadabra. That's about as effective as we are sometimes on our own strength when you have the power in your hand. If you want something from God and it's a God thing, go to God and then stand your ground. If it has to do with salvation, if it has to do with getting free of the devil's entanglements, then it's a God thing. Then stand your ground, okay? Don't let depression take you over because it didn't happen today or tomorrow. God holds time in His hand, and He said, I love them that love me to 1,000 generations. Now deal with that. Now this is how you identify your boundaries. There are two kinds of boundaries in the Bible and your own conscience. Don't violate your conscience for anybody. I don't care if everybody in the church goes out and does X, Y, Z. If it offends your conscience, don't you do it. You stay true to your own personal lines. There are some of us in here that cannot do things that others of us can because of where we've been. Do not try to entice somebody to do what you do because you can't. That's wrong. And it's wrong for you to give up what you know to be wrong for you just because everybody else is doing it. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. Know your boundaries. Now, this is how you can identify when a territorial dispute has arisen in your life. Identify your feelings when you or someone else has crossed your lines. How'd you feel about that? Did it make you mad? Did you feel depressed? Did you feel bad because somebody just reached over there and stole your purse, stole your victory, with a word dropped you to your knees? Well, you're going to have to decide how to respond to that. The only thing I know that works consistently is to go straight to God. Straight to Him, Lord, and I always tell Him, this is what crossed my lines, this is who did it, this is what happened. And once you identify who it is or what it is, make a mental note. Stay away from it. If it crossed you up and left you feeling offended and weak, it's not from God. If you had a conversation that left you feeling worse than when you left, I would very carefully consider the source of that information and say, Lord, is this something I need to be doing on a regular basis? And if consistently you find yourself fighting the same depression and the same battle, then I have to suggest to you that your connection might be suspect. You're going to have to choose what either is going to build this thing in you or tear it down, because God's trying to make you one of those creatures in Ezekiel. You're going to make a choice. Either your friends or the thing you're doing, or God and the thing He's doing in you. It's very simple. Make clear to yourself and others your lines and maintain them. You don't have to be ugly. You can just say, this is my line. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. I'm sorry. You know, I can tell you that there were times in the teacher's lounge, and I've shared this with some folks, as a beginning teacher, that the conversation in the lounge, I'm not saying that I was a holy Joe. I will just tell you this. It was very clear to me that what I was listening to was not going to lift me up, because I didn't have the strength to go back and teach when they got done with me. 30 minutes in that place left me feeling so demoralized and discouraged and weak that I made a little covenant with myself, and I said, as long as they're in there, I'm not going back to that room because of the effect it has on me. I need to be full of faith and love and victory. And God, I don't have to go in there, and I'm not. And you know what? They ran me out of there with their talk. It was so bad, they digested everybody and everything, and it wore me out. So I took my lunch and went to my room, and for 10 years, that's where I ate. You're going to make some choices. But I didn't sit there and cry because I just had to take it. I did something about it. Why? Because I was trying to condemn them. Absolutely not. I knew I was never going to change those women in that room, but I knew I was going to change. One of us was going to change, and it wasn't going to be them. And I could not afford the cost of relationship with them. So you know what? I kept it real superficial and very light. It was too expensive. Now, I will tell you, folks, we are getting close to Jesus' return. And you're going to make some choices because God is going to finish this work in the earth. I'm telling you, as I live and breathe, there's going to be somebody who's going to submit to God to that degree. And they're going to let the power of the Holy Ghost flow through them. You say, do you have to be a preacher to do it? We have told you since we got here that God intended every person with the Holy Ghost to experience this. Everybody is supposed to operate like this. In your life, whether you're old or young, whether you're in school or out, whether you're on the job, you are not ever supposed to cave and crave in fear to people or circumstances that cross your God-given lines. Would you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, I know that these are trying times. I know that this is an old established church. I know that you have sent us here to minister your word and your way. And I know that it doesn't make a bit of difference to you. Age, size, creed, experience, it's connection that has always defined people with you. Folks that were weak in this world's understanding but were powerful in God because instead of acting like humans, they acted like you. But they wore the face of a man. But when the enemy came in like a flood and they were attacked in mind and feelings and body, they did not slink away with their tail between their legs, whipped and defeated and demoralized. No, they stood up and faced their lions, and some of them were eaten by them. But they died believing, and because of that, their testimony roars across the centuries. They are still roaring. Daniel, David, Stephen, Paul, Peter, John, Matthew, Luke, Elijah, Ezekiel, every one of them, a host of witnesses, Deborah, Yael, Mary, Martha, so many of them. And they're watching us because the Bible said we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. God, you know what battles we battle, and you know what fights we fight, and you know that every day, God, we don't get it just right, but you are greater. Hallelujah. We ask you, Lord, to rise in this house, to rise among us, to let the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah rise in us. We ask you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. I want to tell you one story. Brian Anderson, sitting in the eagle's nest up there, brought me a paper, and I have it right up there if you want to look at it, from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The story of a 12-year-old girl who was abducted. She was going to be forcibly married off to someone. They beat her to a pulp. But you know what happened? Three lions came out of the brush and drove those men away. And when they found that little 12-year-old girl, you can have the article right there. Brian's got the original paper. It was in our paper from Ethiopia. When they found that little 12-year-old girl, three lions were lying down beside her, surrounding her. When the police came and found that little girl, the lions got up and walked off. I'm reading it right there. Let me tell you something. I believe that child cried out to God. That's all I know. And the Lord sent ambushments. Do you think that God doesn't know where we are when we are struggling? He is able to do what you let him. You release God into your life by your cry. They tried to explain it and said the crying of a little girl sounds like the mewling of a lion cub. I don't know how those lions saw her. But they didn't move until help came. And they drove those wicked, hateful men off that were going to rape her. They beat her within an inch of her life. She was traumatized. But she had a protector. Let me tell you, God has not forsaken us nor abandoned us, but the line of the tribe of Judah is with us. Hallelujah. 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 Won't you come to the front? We're going to ask the Lord to...